Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
I'm glad to be here tonight, and this is the second session of the lesson called Evangelism and Reasons for Christian Faith. Tonight we will learn the second chapter, how to share your testimony effectively. So I will finish this in 1 hour. We have a break and then go to the third one. First of all, I want to let you know that I want to give you a homework. After tonight, all of you have 2 weeks to send to me through email your personal testimony, how you became a Christian. So after you learn tonight, you need to know how to write it and how to share it. It's going to be with you forever. From today on, you can share the testimony, personal testimony, anytime about how to become a Christian. Amen. So let us pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for tonight that we can come and learn your word and how to witness, how to tell people how Jesus changes and what happened to our life, the blessing of becoming a Christian. Father, we pray that you will speak to all of us tonight by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Many times, what attracts people to become a believer is not a nice program or beautiful church building, or any special skit or show. But what attracts us to become a Christian is the life testimony of people around us. You see the changes. You see somebody that you know and used to be one way, but after that person came to know Jesus, his or her life was changed by the power of God. And you were so impressed, you want to hear more about God. So that's why we need to learn how to share how we become a Christian, what God has changed our life, because it will impact the listener, the non-believers, our unbelieving friends and loved ones will be open up to learn. For example, if you used to be very impatient, and after you become a Christian, you turn to be a very joyful, patient person, very long-suffering, very loving person, then your friend will say, wow, something different here. I need to know more about God. And then you can share the gospel later on. Sharing personal testimony is not only given to apostles or prophets or pastors or preachers, but God commands every one of us to know how to share personal testimony. And we need to learn how to write it. I think it's important. I believe it's important to write it first so that you can put your thoughts and your idea and your story in order and in an organized way. So when you get up and share personal testimony, either in your care group or in the church or on the street, your idea in your brain will be already organized and you can say it without I don't know what to say next, because you know exactly what you're going to say. So tonight we will learn both how to write and second, how to speak personal testimony. Amen. And I believe that every born again believer has a personal testimony, how to become a Christian. And that testimony will really convict, really inspire the unbelieving friends and loved ones and even stranger to want to know more about God. Amen. So what is a personal testimony? A personal testimony is an open declaration or profession of a person's faith, giving a witness of the reality of Christ's love and power. So you openly declare what Christ has done for you. You openly say that my God is real and this is what he has done for me. So when you share like that, the non-believing friend or listener will identify themselves with you. Wow, you have this problem and God solved the problem for you. You have this struggling and God did this for you. I want to know the same God. I can identify with you. So it's very powerful. The personal testimony is one of the most powerful tool that God gives to every single believer. You don't need to be a preacher to do this. Every Christian can share a personal testimony. Our personal testimony show the unbelievers that the good news is not merely a theory. It's not just a good idea, but it's practical, it's real, and it works. Everyone in the world wants something that works. Is that right? You don't want to buy a car that doesn't run. Is that right? You don't want to buy a computer that is broken. The gospel is not broken. The gospel is working. So people know, wow, when you become a Christian, God's power works in your life. People know that this is not just a good writing on a piece of paper, but your life has been touched by God and changed by God. That's why I love to read testimony. Some of you already read some testimonies from Thailand. And it's so wonderful to hear those testimonies. Some of you may not receive my email directly. I hope that your care group leader will forward to you. But it's so wonderful to hear how God works in people's life. Amen. Not only that, our personal testimony is very unique. No one has the same story like you. Every one of us have a unique story. Everyone say unique. I have a unique story. Amen. So it's very interesting. People like to hear some unique story. Amen. And because it's personal story, our story will arouse the listener to hear. That's why gossiping is very popular. If you sit in the lunchtime at your school or your office, and somebody say, you know what happened to that person. Oh, everyone, the ear open up and want to hear what happened to that person. Because people like to hear gossiping. People like to hear the story of somebody else. It's kind of fun. So the same thing when you begin to say, can I share with you my personal life? People say, what? Can I hear that? So it really arouses the ear and the heart of the listener. So it's a good starter or hors d'oeuvre or appetizer when you want to get people's attention to hear from you more about God. Not only that, because in your personal testimony you share what happened to you before you became a Christian and what God has changed your life, many things that happened to you happen to human beings all over the world. Many people go through depression. Many people have gone through divorce, gone through financial difficulties, sicknesses, failure, lack of meaning of life, feel bored, the life is boring. So people go through the same thing. So when you begin to share your life, people can identify right away, oh, you get that, I get that too. People will right away say, hey, I can feel it. I know what you're talking about. And they can identify with you. They feel that they are wearing the same shoes. They're sitting in the same boat as you are sitting. Amen. That's why it's so powerful. Another thing, why personal testimony are so important? Because no one can dispute your story. You know, if you share doctrines or theology, people can argue with you because they come from another religion. They have different belief and different thinking, different ideas about life. But when you share, this is my story, people cannot argue. People cannot dispute with you and say, oh, I don't believe it. How come? This is my real story. So it's really help people to open up more to Christianity. Amen. Not only that, the Bible says clearly that our personal testimony is one of the best weapons and powerful methods that we use to destroy the power of the devil. Revelation chapter 12 verse 11, the Bible says that we overcome him, mean the devil, by what? The blood of Jesus and our personal testimony. Amen. So, this is very powerful tool that God gives to us. The Bible says so. Amen. Not only that, personal testimony is something that every Christian can give. It doesn't have to be a preacher. You don't need to go to Bible school. You don't need to be a Christian for 10 years. Even one day old Christian can give a personal testimony. Actually, I gave my personal testimony the first time when I was only 1 week old Christian. Only 1 week I already shared my personal testimony. In fact, the lesson that I share with you today, I studied this lesson in a very mini book, small booklet that I bought in Thailand long time ago. I didn't even have that book anymore. It's in English. And somebody handed me that book from the church. And I read and I study in 2-3 days. And they say that you have to go to a big hospital in Bangkok and share your personal testimony of how this neurosurgeon become a Christian to all the nurses, about 30 nurses sitting there, master degree nurses, sitting there. So I prepared the lesson. And because of that book, I still know how to share personal testimony to today. And part of that book is in this lesson that I put down in this book. I learned from the first month of my becoming a Christian. So, unfortunately, many believers in the world, after they know Christ for 10 years, they don't know how to share personal testimony because they have never been taught, never been educated. So I believe that this lesson, this CD, need to be listened again and again by every generation in this church. Amen. This lesson is much more detailed than the lesson you learn in our basic lesson book in our church. Now, how to write? I'm going to talk about how to write. You need to write, and I want to beg you to send that email to me. I already have 3 persons sent to me. Jolina, Noy Johnson, and Neil Johnson already sent their homework to me in 24 hours. They finished writing already. I'm still waiting for another 30 people on Wednesday night to send me the homework. You need to write about 1 to 1.5 pages. Don't go too long. Do not write 20 pages. You know, one thing that I learned about letter. If people send me long letter, 3 pages, I usually throw them in the garbage can. I'm talking about the letter from company. Because I don't have time to read. But if it's only half a page, I like to read it. I want to know exactly what it says. And done. I don't want to go on, read 3 pages. I have no time. So sometimes your story doesn't have to be too long. And just get right on the subject. Amen. Now, the content of your personal testimony should relate to your real personal experiences that listener can relate to easily. For example, maybe talking about failure of life before you became a Christian. Maybe disappointment. Maybe brokenhearted. Many girls broke your heart or something like that. Like what happened to some of you here. Or maybe some of you fear death, fear sickness. Some people have a condition called phobia, fear something. So you must really pick and choose certain issue in your life that is real. That God has already done the work and changed you. Because at the end you need to say what God has helped you in that area. So pick up 1 issue or 2 issues in your personal testimony. Amen. And when you are writing, when are you preparing to write it or share it, make sure that you depend on the Holy Spirit to guide you in writing and sharing personal testimony. Depending on the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will be the best teacher and best helper for you. Amen. So, number 3 that we need to understand, don't make your personal testimony too long. Make it concise and brief. You should be able to write personal testimony in 1 to 1.5 pages. And you can share it within 5 to 7 minutes. You should not spend 20 minutes sharing your personal testimony. Should be pretty brief, right on the dollar. Go on. Don't go drag and go on to talk about so many things. In, for example, don't have your personal testimony like this. I was born in 1953 in the hospital called Chulalongkorn Hospital. And then I have a little bit of hair in my head. And my mom raised me up. You know, you go on like this after 20 minutes, people don't even know how you come to know Jesus. So don't go on that detail. Just make sure that you have enough detail, but not too detailed to the point that people start to get bored and fall asleep. Amen. Just go right to the topic. Amen. Number four. Your testimony have to be very specific. Give a clear illustration. Give a clear example. For example, if you say in your testimony, I was a lonely person before I became a Christian. When you say like that, people may not understand what does it mean you are lonely. You may have to add a little bit of example. For example, when I was a young man, I was very lonely and very negative. And that's because of that, I like to go to many parties. I like to go and dance, disco dance at that time. No, Saturday night, what you call fever. We dance in my generation, we have Saturday night. What is the name of the movie? Yeah, it's a Saturday night, the song. Yeah, Saturday Night Fever. You know, you dance. I like to go to nightclubs and party and drink and dance. You know, I have one picture that I was dancing with Pastor Da when she was very young. I still kept that picture. But every time I came back from the party and I came back into my bedroom, my joy completely went away. I came back into my depression again, my loneliness. I look at the four wall of my room and I did not have any peace. And I was very lonely again. That temporary fun in the party did not help me. So you have to be very specific and clear in your illustrations and your example when you share personal testimony. Just don't say, I'm lonely. And then people don't understand what you mean lonely. Amen. So have to be clear. Another issue is this. When you write or share personal testimony, please don't criticize or blame or attack any organization, any religion, any institution, or any church. People will put their guard up right away. People will put the wall up when you begin to criticize their religion, their belief, or their institution, or even a country or a nation. You know, people don't like to hear somebody else attack your nation or attack another country or another church organization. So don't criticize anyone. Don't attack anyone. Amen. Not only that, don't try to copy somebody else's testimony. It has to be your own unique personal story. Amen. It may not be as excited story like the story of William. But it's okay. As long as it's sincere and it's personal and real, the Holy Spirit can use that to speak to people anyway. You don't have to have a story like, oh, I jumped out of the airplane and then God just picked me up in the air and I just came down to the floor very gently. No. On the ground gently. That is a lie. You know, you don't lie. You don't make up story. You don't copy other people's story. The story must be very factual and very sincere. Amen. Not only that, when you write personal testimony, you must be positive. Don't be negative. I always tell my patient like this, go home and tell yourself, I'm healed, I'm fine. Don't speak negative to yourself. Always speak positive. You know, it's the same thing. You don't want to sow the seed of negativity or build the atmosphere of negativity. You need to build the atmosphere of positivity. When you share personal testimony, be positive, be encouraging. Amen. Amen. Avoid any negative issues. Don't talk about it. For example, even though, I give you example, maybe a man give testimony like this. Before I became a Christian, I was divorced. My wife ran away. with another man. For example, this is not real story. Then you don't go on, but she's so wicked. She is a witch. No, this is negative. Don't say like that. You know, you just say she ran away and then go on. Don't say negative against your ex-wife or attack anyone. Just go on and talk about how God changed you. Amen. Don't use that as a time of gossiping, criticizing people and saying anything negative regarding anyone. Another thing is that avoid Christian jargon or Christian word like hallelujah. And the unbeliever don't know what is hallelujah, what ha? Halle something. They don't understand the word hallelujah. Don't use the word like something like this. You know, in Thailand, when I share testimony, I avoid this kind of word like salvation. Instead of using the word salvation, I will use, I have a ticket to go to heaven. I don't use the word salvation because people don't know what salvation. I don't understand. Don't use the word like redemption. What's redemption? Just explain it. That God paid for my sin. And God wipe my sin out. You need to use simple wordings. Very down to earth. A casual word. Don't use high word in the Bible. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Don't be too religious. Amen. Be just simple. Share simply. Write simple word. Not only that. Your personal testimony must be personal. What does it mean? Don't use the word we. You. Use the word I. This is my story. It's not a preaching. When you preach, you use the word we. Because we together gonna have to deal with this. But when you share personal testimony, my story. I go there. I met Jesus. You don't say, we met Jesus. It's not we, it's I. Amen. And again, aim to finish your personal testimony in 3 to 7 minutes if you can. Don't drag too long. Now, there are 5 parts of personal testimony, whether written one or verbal one. Write it down, 5 parts. Number 1, introduction. I'm going to explain this in detail afterward. Number 2, your life before you became a Christian. 3, so number 1, introduction. Number 2, your life before you became a Christian. Number 3, how you met Christ. Your conversion experience. Number 3, and number 4, your life since becoming a Christian or a disciple of Jesus. And number 5, final encouraging words. Conclusion. Introduction, before you become a Christian, how you met Christ, conversion experience, what happened to you after you become a Christian, and the final words or the conclusion. Introduction, we're going to learn in detail in verbal testimony later on. I'm going to skip this part and go to next part later on. So I'm going to talk about introduction at the end of this lesson. Let's go into our life prior to knowing Christ. This is the second part. Our life prior to know Christ. You know, every human being was made by God. And we all have the same need. We all have the same need. And that need, if we don't have that need filled or fulfilled or met, our life will never become fulfilled, no matter how much money you have, no matter how much education you have, no matter how beautiful your girlfriend is, how handsome your boyfriend is. Okay? It doesn't matter. If that need is not met, you will never be fulfilled. And that need that you have, that every human being in the world has, that's why your personal testimony will help the non-believer to identify with you. That need is to come to know God. Because we were created by God, no matter what background, nationality, language, racial group, no, doesn't matter. Everyone will never become fulfilled unless he or she have a personal relationship with God and has God in his or her life. Amen. What I try to say is this. It means this. Every single human being who is not a Christian will have a certain empty parts in their life. Emptiness. lack of fulfillment. And that emptiness will lead to many things in a person's life, like fear, depression, anxiety, sickness, disease, lack of peace, poor relationship in the house with the spouse, something negative because of lack of God in that person's life. Amen. So you need to map out specific areas in your life that you know exactly that God has changed you before you become a Christian, and you mention that part. As I mentioned, that part may be no peace, no joy, no purpose of life, no meaning of life, some bad habits, maybe loneliness, maybe boredom, or emptiness, dissatisfaction, inability to live up to God's to moral standard, or something, some bondage, some habit that you have. I give you example in my life. Even though I was born in a very financially well-to-do home, my dad was a businessman. We never lacked anything financially, and I went to one of the best schools in Bangkok, and I was number one or number two in the class all the time. You know, I was very good in my education. I had a very beautiful girlfriend, very good personality. I was successful to get into the medical school, but all of my life before I became a Christian, I was very depressed, very negative, and very prideful. I had a bondage of being prideful. And I was very negative. Every time I look at situation, I always criticize. I always like talk negative. And I was very, very depressed. And I couldn't smile. And if you ask Pastor Da, she could witness that I was not a smiling man at all. I was very, you know, unhappy person. I was very unhappy. If you go to my house and look at my album, and look at all the pictures when I was in high school and in the medical school in college, you can see that every single picture in my album, I have a very depressed eyes and never smile like this. I was not happy. So that's my life before I became a Christian. So you can map out whatever you want to say specifically. And each of us have different story. Some of your story, maybe you were so sick. I listened to a story of Pastor Kenneth Hagin. He was born with deformed heart and blood disease that the doctor said that he would not live beyond teenager and he would not die. But one day God came and touched him on the bed, and he got out of the bed and completely healed from that deformed heart and blood disease. And that is his life testimony. Every time I heard his tape, he's going to share this again and again and again. He shared this story almost 10,000 times in his tape. I listened to him so many times. You know, that is his life testimony, that he was healed from an incurable disease. Amen. So, I believe that no matter how a person say that he is happy, you know, some people say, I don't need God. I have everything. I have money. I have wife. I have kids. I have big house. I have a good job. But believe me, everyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ will have an empty spot. And I want to call that empty spot is like a, you know, how many people have some kind of tooth problem before? Like an infection or something? Maybe your generation, you don't have it, but my generation, we did not take care of our teeth very, very well. Your generation, you have dental floss now, you clean up your teeth every 3 months, 6 months. But in my generation, we never clean up our teeth, so we have infection all the time. And I never forget that when one of the teeth get infected or get problem, like a root canal infection, and when you put your finger on that teeth, that tooth, you jump because it's sensitive spot. It's like a button. When you push on that button, you jump. The same thing. I believe that every person in the world, no matter how tough he show, how great he say he is, financially, whatever, job wise, but everyone in who is not having Christ in his life will have that button, that spot, that when you touch, that person will begin to feel something. You understand what I'm talking about? People can put the mask on, people can hide their problem, but when you share your personal testimony about something in your life, that testimony can touch that sensitive truth, and that person will open up and want to know Jesus Christ. Amen. So you need sometimes God use your testimony to touch the spot inside somebody's heart. So it's very powerful. Amen. Okay. Now how number three now. So introduction, I will talk later on. Number three, number two, before you met Christ, pick certain issue of your life problem and explain, give example for a minute or two, and go on to the second part, how I met Christ, conversion experience. Share specifically how you receive Christ into your life. Pastor Kenneth Hagin always put even date and time and minute into his testimony. On Tuesday in Texas, on that condominium or something, he shared like this. At 8:58 p.m. he remember all the detail. You know, he always, and that's, you tell how, where, describing the events surrounding you when you accepted Jesus Christ. So make people feel identified that it can happen to you too at certain time, specific time of your life. Why you make that decision? In this time, you can quote scripture without saying what chapter and what verse. For example, I give you my personal testimony. So I was growing up without happiness in my heart. I was really negative person. And one day I got married and I came to the US to honeymoon. Actually happened in Seattle. I came to honeymoon in Seattle. I walk around Green Lake with my new wedded wife. I still have that picture in springtime, in April, very beautiful flower. And then somebody told me about the Bible. And I was very impressed that the Bible was not a lying book. So I went back to Thailand and I kind of have the feeling that God must be real. And somebody called me up and said, could you please come and join our Bible study? I went, and the first night I went there, I find that every Christian in that house, about 10 of them, looked very happy, but I was very depressed. The owner of the house asked me, do you want Christ? You are a sinner. And I was very mad at him that he called me a sinner. He said, go back home and look at the mirror and tell yourself that you are not a sinner. I did. I took the challenge. I was mad at him. I looked at the mirror. And when I began to open my mouth and say, I'm not a sinner, all the memories of what I did when I was young came back. Stealing the money from my mom. Talk bad about people. Looking at some bad books. Watching bad movies. Whatever. I was a sinner. Amen. Oh, in Thailand, when you were in the junior high, I tell you, you have a lot of books in under your, you know, bad books. Playboy, all this stuff, you know. I look at Playboy before. So, I'm not telling you to do that, okay? So, all the memories came back. So I went back to the Bible study. And for 3 months, I studied the book of Matthew with this group of people, and I noticed that all of them were happy, but I and my wife were not happy. On the last night of Bible study, me and Da watched the movie called Jesus from Campus Crusade. In that movie, I noticed that Jesus never sinned, never commit anything wrong, but he was arrested and he was pushed down into the cross, nailed. The nail passed to his hand and he cried out in agony. At that time, as a surgeon, I was very, very moved by the suffering of Jesus Christ. And what really, really hit me is when he said, on the cross. Father, please forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. I couldn't believe it that Jesus would say like that when he was tortured and persecuted so badly. At that moment, I decided I need to believe in this God. And when the end of the movie, when the speaker in the movie say, who wanted to accept Jesus Christ? I did. I bow my head down and I want to invite Jesus into my heart. After I finished the prayer, I opened my eyes and my life was totally changed. So, you see, I share the moment that I accepted Jesus Christ. How I get to that point and why I get to that point. And I give one scripture. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And you can give other scripture. There's so many scripture in the Bible you can share. For example, Romans chapter 8 verse 5, John chapter 3 verse 16, you know, Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. So many scripture you can do that. But it has to be very clear. Amen. That how you become a Christian. Number 4. Our life since becoming a Christian. This is the fourth section of our personal testimony. You need to, whatever you say before you become a Christian, you need to use the same topic at the end. What change happened to you? You have to be same topic. What God, what Jesus did for you after you become a Christian. If you talk about pride, you need to end the story with, I become humble. If you talk about sickness, you end the story, God heal me. If you start with loneliness, after that, I am not lonely anymore. It has to be the same line of topic, because otherwise, people don't see the change in your life. So at the end, in this section, you need to really be clear what God really has done for you in those areas that you mentioned from the section number 2. Amen. The difference that happened into your life. Make it specific, clear example. I remember after I accepted Christ that day, the next day I went up on the bus in Bangkok. And I was shocked when I saw my own heart. Because I usually look down on all the poor people on the bus. That day for some reason God came into my life. I look at all these people and I just love them. I just care for them. And I began to be happy. I just smiling and laugh and be happy. And my wife saw the change in my life. My friend saw it. I became more positive. God really changed me. You see, you need to go on and give some example. I quarreled with my wife less. We didn't fight as much anymore. Because God had changed me to become a humble person, to listen to her needs instead of saying I'm right all the time. You see what I mean? So you need to give the real picture of the difference and the change in your life. But make sure that don't present unrealistic picture. Don't make it up. After I become a Christian, I fly in the air. You know? Something like that. Don't be unrealistic. Be specific. Be real. Don't exaggerate. Amen. The last one, final words. In the final words, you need to see the reaction of the listener. If the listener is very negative, you just say, thank you for listening to me. You listen to the Holy Spirit. Thank you for listening to me. I hope that we can get together again or something. But if the listener is very positive, oh, really good story. And what happened next? Then you say, can I share with you the gospel? Can I tell you what does it mean to become a Christian? And then you go on to the gospel. If the person kind of in the middle, maybe you say, could you come back to our care group next time? Could you come visit my church next Sunday? You can end the story with a little bit of invitation, either to become a Christian or to listen to the gospel or to come back to the group, come back to the fellowship, come back to the party, whatever. You need to end the story with some invitation and challenging words and thankful word to them. Amen. Any question? Now I'm gonna go into how to share personal testimony. A while ago, how to write. What is your homework? Within how many weeks you need to send me your personal written personal testimony. How many weeks? Huh? 2 weeks. I expect your email attachment. 2 weeks. You need to finish writing your testimony. If you write it well, we can post in the website. You can even make it nice handout. Put nice picture. Maybe put a picture of John and Faye in there. Beautiful couple. No, I'm just kidding. You know. I'm talking about John, not Faye. Faye is real. Okay, just put some nice, beautiful picture, and then you can hand to your friend and relative, or email people to read. Amen. It's people like to read your story, so put that into your maybe your in your put it somewhere in your office. People can pick it up. You know, read your story. This maybe you can say, my name is. This is my story. And people like to read it. Amen. So we should that have that in the website, I think. It's a fun thing. People can read the testimony of people. Amen. Hallelujah. Now how to share personal testimony? By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul has set for us a very good example how to share the personal testimony. This happened in 2 incidents in the Bible, Acts chapter 26 and Acts chapter 22. If you go back home and read these two parts of the Bible, you will see that Paul was arrested and he was brought in front of all the offenders and enemies and the officials, including King Agrippa, all the people who wanted to give him a hard time. And then he waved his hand and he said, can I share something? And he began to tell his story in less than 5 minutes. How he became a Christian. Amen. You remember his story? That he said that he went on the road to Damascus, and then Jesus showed up, and he heard the voice. He fell under the power into the ground. God spoke to him in that light. And then he got up and went to Ananias. He became blind. Ananias laid hand on him. His sight came back. And he started to go out and preaching the gospel. Amen. So you can listen to his whole story. Before Paul became a Christian, he was very arrogant, very zealous, very knowledgeable of the Old Testament. And he persecuted Christian. He killed Stephen. He is the one who was standing there while Stephen was stoned that day. He witnessed that. He dragged Christian into jail, into persecution. And how he met Christ on the road to Damascus. He met Jesus personally. He fell under the power. And Jesus was speaking to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You remember the story? And after he became a Christian, he used the same story. He was zealous in persecuting the church. And after that, he went out to preach the gospel right away. He was so zealous for God. You see the story before he became a Christian, how he met Christ, the conversion experience. And after that, what changed in his life in the same manner. Now, I'm going to go in detail in the introduction part here. Because I didn't mention in the written part. Now we're going to look at the scripture and see how you introduce, how you make the introduction part of the personal testimony. In Acts chapter 26, verses 2 to 3, I read, the Bible say, King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. You can see that in his introduction of personal testimony, he really honored the listener. He said, it's my fortune, it's my honor to stand before you. And he even say, wow, King Agrippa, you are so knowledgeable. This is very important part of evangelism. When you want to share your personal testimony, you need to give honor to people all the time. Don't put them down. Don't make them feel inferior. Don't make them feel that you look down on them or you despise them. And in fact, I want to say this. If you live a life of evangelism, your life will never be the same. Because in fact, every single minute of your life is preparation to give testimony. I give you an example. All this, how many years now? 12 years of my practice in Bellevue and Kirkland. I decided to give honor to every single nurse, every patient, and even my secretary and all the workers in the hospital. I honor every one of them. I never show sign of looking down on even poor people who came into my office. I treat every patient the same. I talk to the nurse with honor and respect. I always say thank you. I always say good job. You have done a good job today. All these 12 years of my practice, I store up, I accumulate the scores of my life by honoring everyone around me. And you know what happened lately? In the past couple years, because I have already sown the seed of honoring people, I have been able to share anything about God in the operating room and in the hospital without any objection or any fighting against me. Because people see that I honor them. Amen. Actually, last Monday, the patient rolled into the room. I said, let's pray in front of everyone. And I lay hand on my patient while she is on the stretcher, and all the nurses and doctors who are not Christian standing there look at me. I lay hand on my patient and I began to pray out loud, and no one say any word. I just stand up sometime during surgery and I say, oh, you know, God really take care of me financially because I give 10% to God, and no one dare to say any word against me. I can wash my hand talking to the physician assistant and say, oh, that day God really performed miracle in my church, and no one dare, they just say, oh, really? I, you know why? Because all these 12 years, I earned the right to speak because I honor people. This is very important. If you make a decision to live your life for evangelism, you will treat people in a different way. Amen. When my patient walk in and she say, I just got divorced, I hate my husband, I did not show reaction. I didn't look like religious like. You divorce, you wicked woman. No, I just calm down and I would show love to her because I want to win her for Christ. There's no reason to attack people. There's no reason to go and dishonor people, honor everyone because you want to win them to Christ. She doesn't know what she's doing. That's why she divorced him. Is that right? Because she is blind. She is a sinner. We are not in the job of condemnation. We are in the job of saving the lost. So honor everyone. Amen. So no matter who that person is, honor on the phone. When you talk to people on the phone, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Everything. You watch your mouth. You watch your body language. You need to honor people. And you're going to earn the right to speak when it comes that people will listen to you. Lately, I shared a lot of things in the OR almost every time I start to perform surgery. I even turn on 105.3 and people cannot shut it down. I just say, turn on 105.3, Christian station. And no one dare to touch me. You know why? Because they honor and respect me now. So it took me a long time to gain that respect. So you keep doing that every single day in your home. If you go back home to your dad who is not a Christian, buy a cake for him for Christmas. Buy some flower for your mother who is not a Christian. Show love to her, respect her. Believe me, after a while she will listen to you. Amen. Honor everyone. This is very important. Amen. Paul say, I become all things for all men. He tried to honor everyone around him. Amen. But you don't need to use flattery word. Don't say something too much to the point people know that you are not sincere. You must be sincere in telling, honoring people. Don't be flattery, is that right? Flattery. Okay. Number two, verse 3 say, therefore I beg you to listen to me patiently. So in other words, when you ask people to listen to you, don't push the issue. Don't force people to listen to you. You humbly ask them to listen to you. Can I share something with you? Can you listen to my story a little bit here? I have something to share. Do you mind? For 5 minutes. You know, you need to invite people to listen to you humbly. Don't force people to listen to you. If they say no, don't force it. Back off. Amen. Number three. Very important to identify yourself with the listener. Acts chapter 22, verses 2 to 3. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, you see, Paul began to identify himself with the listener. He said, I'm a Jew. You are a Jew. Identified. Born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city under Gamaliel, I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. He said, you are zealous in your Judaism. I'm zealous in Judaism. I was very zealous in Judaism too. He identified himself. He said that I became weak to reach out to the weak. I became strong to reach out to the strong. So every time I go to Japan, arigato gozaimasu. I don't go to Japan and do like this. I go to Japan and like this. He said, right, you need to identify yourself. You need to act like them. You need to sit down like them. Sit on the floor with them. Eat sushi with them. Amen. You identify yourself. If Al go to Japan to evangelize, you should not act like American. You should act more like Japanese. So that they listen to you. They feel that, I remember long time ago in Thailand, there is an American missionary who tried to witness to us. But she doesn't want to eat rice. She doesn't want to sit on the floor with people. She need only to sit on the chair because people in Thailand sit on the floor a lot. And you know, I tell you, it really offends a lot of Thai people and they don't want to listen to her. Thai people will say like this, this is your religion, not our religion. So that's why it's so important to go and identify yourself with their culture. Mix with them. Eat their food. Live the same way they live. Amen. Don't be different. That's why I try to become more Americanized. Amen. So when I talk to patients in America, I talk like Americans. But when I go to Thailand, I tell you, I look totally Thai. I totally change. I will talk like Thai, greet people like Thai, everything, because I need to identify myself with people around me so that they will listen to me. Amen. Can we do that? Identify yourself with people. Okay. Now, describe is important that in evangelism, you need to let people know your background in a very humble way. And you need to know their background if possible. Why? Because if you can know their background, that's why it's so important in the first phase of relationship. You need to listen to people a lot. Don't talk a lot at the beginning. I remember when I reached out to Tom. You know, how many people know Pirat and Brenda? Tom and Brenda? In the first few months when I reached out to Pirat long time ago, I didn't say much at all. I just listened to him. I just listened. Because I want to know his background. What kind of person he is. What he likes. What he likes to talk about. So you need to know, understand background of listener. And at the same time, you let them know your background little by little. Because people will listen to you more when they know that you are not a jerk. somebody who just come in to get money from you, from them, and borrow money and never pay back or something. You know, you are not a selfish person. You are very, you have a life of integrity. You love your wife. You love your kids. You work. You, you know, you are a reliable person. People will listen to you more if you have integrity in your life. That's why you need to let people know about you. Amen. In a humble way, not in the boastful way. Amen. People need to know that you are trustworthy. That's why it's so important that everything we do in our life, people need to see us as people of integrity, of people of trustworthiness. Because if you cheat, you lie, and you want to witness about Christ, people are not going to listen to you. Is that right? People will never listen to you if they know you lie all the time. I remember one time, a long time ago in the University of Washington, there is a resident, he's a doctor resident. He is about 4 years junior than me. Less year than me. And this man was so arrogant, and he also speak in an arrogant way. So every time he said, I'm a Christian, everyone turned their ear off. And no one want to listen to him. It's so clear. I mean, I watch this. I watch people. You know, when they act arrogant, they act very religiously. People don't want to listen. So it has to be down to earth, humble, trustworthy, and the listener will listen to you. And then you see that sometimes you need to stimulate people a little bit to listen to you by saying something. You change the subject. You may start the subject with something that people like to talk about. Look at John chapter 9 verse 25. Look at this blind man, what he say to stimulate people to listen to him. He say, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Wow, many people hear that. What next? I want to hear more. Why you know Jesus? You see what I mean? I always say like this, when I give testimony to some of my colleagues, I say, in 1985, it's impossible for doctor from Asia to come to America. It's 0%. It's impossible to become a resident at University of Washington, one of the top 3 neurosurgery program in America. But I got it. And I want to tell you the story why. People open their ear right away. What? Why you can get into University of Washington as a neurosurgeon? It's a miracle. Sometimes you stir people to listen to you by sharing something that is look impossible, but God did it for you. And then you begin to go on how you become a Christian and the gospel. You need to get people attention. Amen. Is it clear? Now, at the end of this lesson, I want to give you a few tips here how to share personal testimony. A few tips. How many people want to know? Tips. Practical point. Number one. Don't share your testimony with the attitude of wanting to win people. Might mean that win your reasoning. You're gonna overcome them. No. You should have a pure attitude. Completely pure, loving attitude. You just want them to come to know Jesus Christ. There is no hidden agenda. If that person doesn't come to your church, it's okay. No hidden agenda that person need to join your church. No hidden agenda that person need to buy something from you. No hidden agenda. Only loving agenda, loving attitude of God. You just love that person. If he doesn't give you any benefit or she doesn't do anything for you, that's okay. You just share with love. I believe God loves a sincere, loving attitude. Amen. God doesn't want us to come to people with a hidden agenda. Sometimes people have hidden agenda of money. I do this so that they will come back to me to pay me more money. No hidden agenda. Number two. When you share, don't be boring. I want to tell you, my God, He's so powerful. He is so powerful. God is so good. You know, you show body language and your voice and your tone of voice in a boring way, people will see that your God is a dead God. You need to be enthusiastic. You need to be exciting. You need to be very zealous and fervent, happy, joyful. Amen. Show the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Don't argue. Don't make very angry face. You don't listen to me. Huh? You know, if you don't show the character of God, no one gonna see God in you. You know, sometimes people learn something from you, from your body language, more than anything else. They listen to your body language more than your words. Yesterday, I took out my three of my secretary out for dinner to show appreciation. My secretary said that, I know why you're so successful in your practice. I'm number one, top, on the east side. And maybe in Seattle. Right now, I believe my practice is top number one. Why? They say like this. I know one neurosurgeon. When the patient want to shake hand, that neurosurgeon will put the hand backward and say, I cannot, I have a cold. But actually, he is afraid of the cold of the next person. This is a true story, you know, I'm not making it up. And then the neurosurgeon will sit down and ask questions, but never look at the eyes of the patient and keep typing computer. The patient just keep talking and he keeps typing. And he never touched the eye. He would talk like this and he always... like this, you know, and never look at the person's eyes. No referral. No one, no word of mouth. No one come to him. But they say that, Dr. Lau, when the patient walk in, I saw you. You moved your chair toward the patient. Lean forward and listen and make your eyes. Really? You suffer. I share, I care, I listen, I show interest. I don't sit and write, I listen first. And can you tell me what happened to your kids? Oh, what is his name there? Today, one of the couple came into my office and a little daughter came into. How old is she? Instead of asking about some, I pay attention to the kid first. You know why? Because people will look at you and see that you are sincere and you care for them. And I mean it. I don't do it out for business. Actually, I really care for people. I care for their life. I care where they live. Today, one lady came to see me and say, she's a Christian, but she doesn't have a church to go. I find out. And I say, are you alone in Seattle here? Do you have any relative? You know, I care. I want to make sure you are taken care after surgery. And right after that, I say, you know, if you don't have a church, you can come visit us. You see what I mean? You reach out. By sharing, showing love and care and concern, loving attitude. When you share testimony, you need to be clear. I heard that Jolina want to start a class called ESL class in our church. I think it's a good idea that we all will learn speaking English very clearly. Amen. Especially international student, because when you share, people need to understand you. So when you talk, make sure you watch your pronunciation, everything. If you don't, you know that you say something wrong, go and learn, go to Dan Wallum and say, do I say this wrong? Can you correct me right now? You need to improve your ability to communicate. Be clear, be relaxed, and be natural. Amen. I want to encourage all the international students to improve your linguistic ability all the time. Don't be happy with what you say. Just always improve what you say. Amen. Amen. We need to be good communicator. Amen. Always be sincere. People need to read your sincerity and don't say you know. I heard some people like you know what? You know what? It's not good personality. You know what? Anything else that people like to say that really kill the personality? You know. Something like that. You know? You know? Hallelujah. So be careful. Watch your posture. Watch your posture, because your body language will speak very loud. Amen. When you talk, look at the eyes. Don't look around. Don't put your hand in the pocket like this and talk. Don't talk like this. Walk backward. It shows that you don't care, you don't love, you want to stay away from that person. Is that right? What's your posture? How you make your face? These all things, this little thing is important to make people open to you. Very important. Amen. Don't look up the ceiling. Some people come up and give testimony this way. Can I have a microphone? I pretend. If this is a microphone, come up, give testimony. Like this. So people look at your hand, they don't listen to your mouth now. What happened to you? Why you keep twisting the... You know, I saw some people talk like this. Like this all the time. You know, I saw one person talk like this. Or another way that people like to talk. Like this. Point finger to people's face. Don't do it. Amen. Amen. So, improve. I want to encourage you. What I did the first time, I stood before a mirror. And I share personal testimony, and I look at myself how I smile and stand and act. Because you may have some personality that you don't know. Some people like this. You know? Or just have the habit. Some people have that kind of habit. Pulling the pen out and... Oops, I'm sorry, this is not a pen. Something like that. You know, you do something as a habit. So you have to be very careful. I'm going to say that, but I don't want to. Okay. Do not argue with anger. If people challenge you, stay calm and be loving. Amen. Let them win. Let them win that time. Okay. Because they're going to come back. I listen to you the next time. You know, sometimes people argue with you and try to give you a hard time because they are so prideful and they don't want to yield to God. But one of these days, those people gonna face trouble, and you know who they're gonna run to? They're gonna run to you because they know that you listen. So don't argue, don't fight, just listen and calm down. I remember I witnessed to a man many years ago, this couple, were the manager of the company that Germany worked for. I think Germany. Bob and Linda. Yeah. Bob and Linda came to our party and we tried to witness to them and they just totally ignore me. Totally ignore Da. You know what happened? A year later, the wife called us up and say, we had marriage problem. We don't know where to run to. We trust you. We're going to come and talk to you. They both accepted Christ. And 2 weeks ago, they sent to us, our church, $5,000. 2 weeks ago, as a love offering. Because I did not fight with them the beginning. I just let go. And I didn't want to argue. I let them win. But once the time of suffering came, they came to us. Amen. So that's important. Try to be smiling. Be relaxed. Be happy. Don't look serious. Don't look depressed. Amen. Mm-hmm. In fact, I want to add something here. In the past couple years, you know that I have been in revival for 7 and 8 years now. Got touched by the Holy Spirit. The first time, God touched me in Toronto. And then God touched me in Portland. And God just cleansed out bad stuff out of me. And lately God began to fill me up with the anointing, with the fire of God. And a few days ago, I was working in my office. And I began to realize that everyone I look at, I just so feel of love toward them. I just love them. I just love these people. I love even strangers walk by in the hospital. I walk by a mom and a daughter this morning. And I look at them and just, oh, I just love them. And I ask God why. And God answered me the word, one word he said, overflowing. Why I don't want to stop revival in this church? Because in revival, when the fire of God came, it burned out bad stuff out of your life. The anger, the hatred, the selfishness. And after burn those things out, what he does next? He fills up. So the first step in your revival, that's why revival cannot be done in one service. Amen. It has to be done again and again, because the first few times you fall under the power, when you get laid hand on, you fall under the power, it may be a cleansing time, burning out all the junk. But after a while you begin to be cleansed, then God start to fill you up. And eventually it's going to happen what? Overflowing. Your life is overflowing with the love, with the mercy, with the compassion. And I want all of you to come to that point that whenever you go to give testimony or witness, you go with the overflowing of the Holy Ghost, of the love, of the compassion, of the mercy. It's just overflowing. You cannot stop yourself. You cannot force yourself to hate people anymore, because it's so overflowing of the love of God. How many people want to live a life like that? I want to. That's why the devil hates revival. That's why the devil hates the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say one more time on this pulpit right now that the devil will do everything to you to get rid of you out of this church. He will use every reason to get you out of this church. Maybe the building is not good enough. Pastors speak with accent. They are not organized enough, whatever. You know why? Because there is not a lot of churches on Seattle that have revival right now. One day God spoke to me, I'm not calling you to have a program, many programs. I call you to bring me, my people, into the presence of God and the fire of God. Because that is the only thing that's going to change them. Actually, 2 days ago, I got the email from Millard about this. We have baby boomer, X generation, Y generation, and now tech generation. Is that net internet? Net generation, or you can call another word, tech generation or technology. Nowadays you have one box, you can see DVD, play game, and also listen to music in one box. And I began to talk to God. God, oh ho, I have a big competitor here. The competition, with competition against the touch of God and revival, is all this technology. People enjoy this iPod and all these things, and they are not looking for the presence of God anymore. Is that right? We are coming against. I mean, I appreciate all the technology, but we should not love technology more than the presence of God. Let us become a church of overflowing with the love of God, overflowing with the fire of God, overflowing with love. I want to see that happen to you. Amen. Japanese student gonna go back to Japan with the overflowing of the love and the power and the fire of God. Amen. One day the dentist named Brandy. You want to be a dentist? Whenever you stand and start to dig out somebody's teeth, you stand there with the overflowing with the Holy Ghost, to the point that your patient gonna be melt by the power of God. In Big Island. Amen. Or something. Somewhere that God called you to be. And the church will start there. The revival church. Amen. So, we need revival. We need the overflowing of the Holy Ghost. Practice saying your testimony again and again in front of a mirror. Or in front of your friend, in front of your pastor, so you can be very good at it. You know, don't worry about sharing your personal testimony 10,000 times. February, I just went to Thailand, And on the last night, on Tuesday night, Monday night, I stood up in Nakhon Pathom and I shared my personal testimony that I did 24 years ago. The same testimony. And three people accepted Christ. So you can share the same story Paul shared two times. Acts 22, Acts 26, the same story. You don't have to be ashamed of your story. You can have the same story again and again. Because the testimony is powerful. Amen. Pray and ask God to give you direction. So I want to close this session now. And we will have a 10-minute break. And come back again for the third chapter. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this lesson, Lord. We pray, Father, that your people will take serious about writing and sharing verbally the testimony of their own life, how they become a Christian. Give them word to say. Give them what to write. Tell them exactly, Father, by your Holy Spirit. Give them love, joy, boldness by the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep everyone in the fire of God all the days of their life, Lord, that there will be a great witness for Christ, Lord. I pray, Father, that everyone who listens to this CD will be blessed, will be full of the anointing, will be full of wisdom, will really start to rise up and share personal testimony in their city, in their school, in their workplace, Father, and many million souls will come into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.